Please turn in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel and the chapter 14, please. This evening we will be continuing our studies in the book of Philippians, but this morning I want to draw your attention to this portion of Scripture. It's a message I believe the Lord has laid upon my heart for today. It's a familiar parable that we're going to read, maybe not so familiar to some, but should be familiar to most. And we're going to commence our reading at verse 16 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, and verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and bid many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And I say unto you, for I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Underline those words at the end of verse 24. None of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Amen. We'll end our reading there, knowing the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Please turn again to Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. Let's just read a couple of verses again. For a few moments today, I want to preach on the subject, the excuses of men. Look what we read in verse 16, down to 18. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and bid many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. Underline, especially verse 18, the first part of it. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's truth. And you pray, child of God, that the Lord will speak to hearts in this meeting today. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the word of God, for the message of the gospel. We thank thee, Lord, for the scriptures of truth, which are able to make men wise unto salvation. And O God, we pray that you'll come and work in hearts just now. We recognize, Lord, that the hearts of men are hard. But we praise thee, Lord, that thou art able to soften the heart. And O God, in mercy, soften hearts today. In mercy, draw sinners to Christ. In mercy, reveal unto men and women their need of God's eternal salvation. O God, whatever excuses they would put up today for not coming to Christ, I pray, Lord, that they would turn away from those excuses, put them to the side, and trust thee as their own and personal Redeemer. O God, to this end, I pray that you would fill me with thy gracious Holy Spirit And help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to Thee. O God, I pray that You'll challenge hearts this day. You'll draw men to Christ. And that You'll do it for Your glory and Your great name's sake. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. What is an excuse? Well, the dictionary's definition of the word excuse is as follows. An excuse is a reason that you give in order to explain why something has been done, has not been done, or will not be done. In other words, if you have done something, or if you have not done something, or if you do not intend to do something, you make up an excuse. Therefore, an excuse is a very bad reason for not doing something, or a very bad reason for leaving something undone. In Luke chapter 14, we have a perfect example of this. In this chapter, we have three men who made up excuses. In other words, they give very bad reasons for not attending this great supper that they had been invited to. The Bible tells us here that a certain man made a great supper and then invited these men to partake of this feast. But one by one they began to make an excuse why they could not come to the supper. One said, "I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it." The second one said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I must go and prove them." And the third said, "I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come." Now, none of these reasons were legitimate reasons for not going to the supper. They were only excuses. The truth is, these men did not want to go to this great supper that they had been invited to. And instead of just saying that, each man made up an excuse why he could not attend. Now, the question is this: what has this parable to do with you and me? What is the spiritual application of this parable for our lives today? Well, men and women, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He is preparing a great supper. It is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And through the message of the gospel, the invitations go out to all sinners to come to this marriage supper of the Lamb. All things are now ready. Christ has not only died, but He has risen again. He has provided salvation for the whosoever will. Therefore, God's salvation is freely extended to you today. But the sad reality is this: there are still many who are making excuses and refusing to accept the invitation to this great marriage supper that Christ has prepared. In other words, there are still many who are refusing to come to Christ in order to be saved. I wonder, are you one of these people today who are still making excuses and still saying no to God's free offer of salvation? And if you are, what excuse are you making today for not coming to Christ and receiving Him as your own and personal Savior? That's a very personal question. And I want to ask you personally that question today, especially if you're found in God's house and you're not saved, you're not a Christian. You know the gospel. You have heard it many times. Indeed, most of you, if not all of you, have been brought up under the sound of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you know your need of salvation. You know how to be saved. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished upon the cross in order to save you. You have been taught not only that Christ has died, but that He has risen again. You know that someday He is coming back to this earth. And at this moment, you're not ready and not prepared for death and for eternity and for the second coming of Christ. The question I want to ask is this: what is your excuse for not coming and accepting the invitation that Christ has given to you to be saved and to be born again of the Spirit of God? As we come to deal with this subject, I want you to notice three things about excuses. First of all, I want you to notice the folly of excuses. Look what it says in verse 18. It says, "And they all with one consent began to make excuse." The folly of excuses can be seen in what these men could have had if they had taken up the invitation. They could have enjoyed a great supper. You see, all these men who made these excuses rejected an invitation to a great supper. And because they refused to come to this great supper, listen to it, they missed out in partaking in a great feast. What a foolish decision they made. What a foolish choice they made. Look what it says in verse 16. "A certain man made a great supper and bid many." This was no ordinary meal. This was a special event. The fact that this was a great supper and that many were invited shows the greatness and the uniqueness of this supper. Therefore, when these men made excuses and refused to come to this great and special feast, they were demonstrating their folly. The reasons that these men in Luke chapter 14 give for not coming to this great supper were only foolish excuses. What man buys a piece of land without seeing it? What man buys 5 yoke of oxen without proving them? What man's newly wed wife would not want to go to a feast? All these men turned down an opportunity to come to a great supper for no plausible reason at all. They had no genuine reason for not taking up this invitation. So they made up excuses. And they were fools. They were fools. If the man had already bought the piece of ground, he did not need to go and see it. He could have gone and viewed it after the supper. If the man had already bought the 5 yoke of oxen, he did not have to go and prove them. And what wife, as I have said, would not want to go to a feast? You see, they were only excuses, because the bottom line was they did not want to go to this supper. For whatever reason, they did not want to take up this man's invitation. But how foolish they were, because they could have enjoyed a great feast. They could have entered in to a special supper, a special event. But because of their foolishness, they missed out. Men and women, every sinner who rejects the invitation of Christ to come unto him and be saved, whatever their excuse, he or she is a fool. No reason, no excuse is good enough to make to stop you from coming and receiving God's eternal salvation. Sinner, what folly to reject the invitation to come to Christ in order to receive everlasting life. What folly to say no to heaven. What folly to refuse peace with God, forgiveness of sins, and eternal happiness. Sinner, your excuses are preventing you from coming to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Your excuses today are stopping you from receiving everlasting salvation. Whatever excuse you're giving for not coming to Christ, it is folly. Because you're missing out on everlasting life. Do you ever think about that? Those of you who are in the meeting and you're not saved, and you're making excuses why you should not be saved, and why you can't be saved, and why you don't want to get saved just at this moment. Do you not realize what you're missing out on? You're missing out on heaven. You're missing out on having the assurance that you've made peace with God and that your sins are forgiven. You're missing out on so much. Christ has provided a so great salvation for you today. And he has died upon the cross and shed his precious blood in order to provide that wonderful salvation for you. And not only has he died upon the cross, but he has risen again. And thank God, the Bible tells us that he ever lives to make intercession for his people. And thank God today, He invites you to come and partake of this wonderful and eternal redemption. And you refuse to do so. And you make up excuses for not receiving everlasting life. That's bound to be foolish. Listen, if I went down to you today and took £1 million out of my back pocket and handed it to you and said, listen, I'm going to give you that as a gift. All you have to do is to take it. I'll tell you this, there wouldn't be a man or woman or young person wouldn't grab it. And yet God is offering you this day everlasting life. And you refuse to come to him and accept this gift of eternal life through his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a free gift. You don't have to pay for it. It's an eternal gift. Because once you receive it, praise God, you have it forever. It's a gift that means that you're going to get into heaven when you die. And yet, as you sit in God's house this Lord's Day, you're still refusing to accept God's salvation. You would rather make up an excuse for why you don't want to come to Jesus Christ. The folly of excuses. The folly of excuses. But I want you to notice something else here. I want you to take a look at verse 24 for a moment in this chapter. Luke's Gospel chapter 14. I want you to see the danger of excuses. It says in verse 24, "For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." The men that made the excuses not to come to the great supper were shut out. They would never taste of this great banquet. Because they refused to come, they would never be admitted into this great feast under any circumstances. Now, it's important that you see that. These men that made these excuses for not coming to the great supper, when the good man of the house eventually had his supper, they were shut out. Notice that others took their place at the feast. Take a look at verse 21 to 23. "Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Men and women, the danger of making excuses for not coming to Christ and being saved is that you will be shut out of heaven if you die rejecting Christ as your Savior. You will be refused admittance into the kingdom of God, and you will end up in a lost eternity in hell itself. To keep on making excuses for why you should not be a Christian, you're in danger of the door of heaven being closed to you forever. You know, one of the most popular excuses that people make for not getting saved today is the excuse of tomorrow. How often have I heard that? They say, I can always get saved tomorrow. I can always come to Christ at some later date. But what danger there is in delay. What danger there is in delay. In Proverbs 27 verse 1 we read, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." My friend, the truth is that tomorrow is not certain. We may not live to see tomorrow. Indeed, we may not live to see tonight. What about the five foolish virgins who neglected to put oil in their lamps? They thought that tomorrow would be soon enough. However, in Matthew 25, verses 10 to 13, we read these words, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." You see, friend, the truth is this, that time is short. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And what you need to do today, you need to stop putting off the day of your salvation. You need to stop making excuses, because you're walking on very dangerous ground. Because today the door into heaven for you could be shut. Today the invitation into the marriage supper of the Lamb for you could be withdrawn. Today the opportunity for you to make peace with God might be taken away and your soul be lost forever. Oh, there's danger in making excuses. There's danger in you continuing to make excuses for not coming and trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Tomorrow will not always be there. The opportunity will not always be there. The Bible says, indeed the Lord says in his word, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And how true that is. Oh, there comes a time, we know not when, a place we know not where, that seals the destiny of men for glory or despair. There is a line unseen of men that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. Don't play around with your soul. Young person, older person, don't play around with your soul. These men who made these excuses in Luke chapter 14 and who did not partake of the supper, they eventually would have died. That's common sense, isn't it? The first man's land would not have been much good to him then. The land that he went to see instead of going to the supper. The second man's 5 yoke of oxen would not have been much good to him then. The 5 yoke of oxen that he went to prove instead of going to the feast. And the third man's wife, well, he had to leave her behind as well when he died. Sinner, when you die and end up in hell, you will see the folly of your excuses, but it will be too late. It will be too late. Whatever's hindering you from coming to Christ, I don't care what it is or who it is, but whatever is hindering you from coming to Christ, it will be worth nothing when you end up in a lost sinner's hell for all eternity. You'll not think much of your excuses then. Oh, you think you've got a fairly good excuse at the minute, but it's only folly. And as long as you hold on to those excuses, you're in danger. You're in danger of the door being shut. You're in danger of the Lord returning and bringing his saints home to heaven, where they will sit down with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The supper time is coming, friend. The eternal supper time is coming. And that's why you need to make that necessary preparation. You see, that's the third thing I want you to notice here. Not only the folly of excuses, not only the danger of excuses, but I want you to notice, thirdly, the remedy for excuses. The remedy for excuses. The remedy for excuses is very simple, and it is set out very clearly in Luke chapter 14. Now take a look at this portion of scripture again. The remedy is this. You've got to stop making excuses and accept the invitation to the great supper. Now there are 3 words here that I want to highlight under this point, and I want you to see them and look at them very carefully. Look first of all at verse 16 and 17 again. And I want you to underline the word come. C-O-M-E. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bid many, and sent his servants at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come. Do you see it? Come, for all things are now ready. Now here we have the invitation of the gospel. This is a divine invitation. Christ, the eternal Son of God, exhorts sinners to come unto him and be saved. Luke 11, verse 28 says, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to you today, my friend. If you're found in this meeting and you're not saved, you're still putting up excuses for why you shouldn't come to Christ. The Lord Jesus, in love and in tenderness, he says to you today, come, come unto me. Come and accept my salvation. Come and receive me as your own and personal Savior. Come and trust me as your Redeemer. Isaiah 1 verse 18, that invitation can be seen again, where the Lord says, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But again, you can see in the Old Testament reference, the invitation of the Savior. That invitation is, come. Would you come today? Come just as you are. You're a sinner. You know you're a sinner. God knows you're a sinner. Come as you are. Come in faith. Trust Christ. Come back in repentance. Come and put your trust in the one who loves you and who died for you and who this day is willing to save you. But you've got to come. Sitting in the pew won't save you. Coming to church won't save you. Being a Free Presbyterian will not save you. No, my friend, you've got to come. That's a word that involves action. That involves action. You've got to come. You've got to turn and you've got to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal. You've got to make a conscious decision. My friend, if you continue to sit in the pew, refusing to come, holding on to your excuses, then the consequences, as we have already said, are dire. Here's the remedy for excuses, is to come. Now, this is more than an invitation here. Indeed, it's a command. It's a command. In Acts 17, verse 30, we read these words, but God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So God today, through the scriptures and through the gospel, is not only inviting you to come, but he is commanding that you come. It's a command. Would you obey that command today, sinner? Those of you in this meeting who are not converted, would you obey that command to come? Trust Christ as your Savior? Oh, I pray that you will. Now, there's two more words here I want you to notice. Take a look at verse 21 and verse 23. I want you to notice the words quickly and compel. Look what it says in the middle of verse 20 there, 21. It says, go out quickly. Underline the word quickly. And then look at verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel. Underline that word. And compel them to come in. Now, these words, quickly and compel, they draw our attention to the urgency of coming to Christ and being saved. The servants of the master had to go out quickly and compel them to come in. Why were they to go out quickly and compel them to come in? Because of the urgency of the matter. Because of the urgency of the situation. Men and women, salvation is an urgent matter. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Here's the remedy for excuses. Stop making excuses and come.
Stop making excuses and come quickly. Stop making excuses and come now. Come now. Come now and trust the Savior. Come now and turn from your sin. Oh, sinner, be done with your excuses. And come and trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Come and repent of your sin. Now, this very day, get down on your knees. This very moment, turn and trust the Savior. Don't leave it until another Sabbath day. Don't leave it until another minute. But even as I preach this word, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face and cry unto him for mercy and thank God even in the pew that you're sitting in, he will save you and he will save you now. But art thou waiting till the morrow? My friend, thou midst never see its light. Come at once, accept his mercy. He is waiting. Come tonight. Oh, be saved, his grace is free. Oh, be saved, he died for thee. Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in his word, he shows us the way. Here in our midst, he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. Think once again, he's with us today. Heed now his blessed command and obey. Hear now his accents tenderly say, will you, my sinner, come? Will you come? Will you come now? That's the remedy for excuses. We see here the urgency of the matter. And my friend, as you're sitting in this meeting, the problem is you don't see the urgency of coming. Because you honestly believe that you have plenty of time and you honestly think that there'll always be another opportunity. And that's the lie of the devil. The very reason you have excuses today is because of the devil. Because the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in unto them. The devil will plant the excuse in your mind and in your heart. And he's been doing a very good job right up until this point in your life. For you're still making excuses. Oh, don't make excuses anymore, but come to the Savior today. Listen, my friend, all things are now ready. All things are now ready. There's nothing that you have to do in order to gain eternal life. Only come. Only trust Christ. The work has been accomplished. In a few moments' time, God's people will be meeting around the Lord's table. We will be remembering his death for us upon the cross. And we will be giving thanks for that death. The Lord's table today reveals unto us that the work is done and that all things are now ready. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to climb Mount Everest for it. All you have to do is, in childlike faith, come and receive it. Listen, will you come to the great supper? Will you come to the marriage supper of the Lamb? Will you come to heaven? Will you come and have your sins forgiven? Will you come and trust him today? Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you. He will save you now. My friend, if I could carry you to heaven, I would do it. But I can't do it. If I could bring you into the glory land, I would gladly do it. But I can't. You must come. And you must trust him. And you must trust him now. Let us all pray.
Father in heaven, we thank thee today and we praise thee for the invitation of the gospel. We thank thee, Lord, for the wonderful salvation that the Lord has provided for us in Christ. Oh God, what a wonderful picture we have here of the finished work, of the marriage supper of the Lamb, of the invitation to heaven. What a wonderful picture we have here of what Christ has provided for all who come to him. Oh Lord, I pray that men and women today will be finished with their excuses. Show them the folly of them. It's keeping them out of heaven. It's keeping them from God's best. That excuse is keeping them from God's best and the danger of it. For this very moment, their very souls are dangling over hell itself. Oh, what danger. What danger they're in and they can't see it. What danger they're in, Lord, and they can't perceive it. Oh God, today reveal unto them that they must turn and believe, trust Christ. Bless thy word, Lord, to every heart. And save precious souls this day for thy glory and thy great name's sake. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.